Good morning, Patriots. Enjoy that little Friday restart there. Technical challenges. But that's all right. We overcome. So it's been a long week of reflection and a long week of looking at our process of where we are and what's going on. We have obviously only things that have been going on up in our capital are the same nonsense and a farther drift from, quite frankly, a much farther drift away from God and this core of what this country is about. And it begs the question a lot of times about where our role is and what ultimately it is that our focus should be. One thing that, and I'll be honest, this is me, but I don't subscribe to the place of pleading to God to come save us. I do say that we must humble ourselves, we must pray before God to heal this land, to absolve this land of all of its darkness. Because I'll tell you, the one thing that if there's anything that's become increasingly clear day by day, and it's just like it's an acceleration of how corrupt things are. I don't think in my wildest dreams, I never imagined the levels of corruption that we're witnessing and the level of deceit. It's quite frankly unprecedented. And in this time like that, you have to question what it is we're trying to save. In my personal opinion, it all needs to come down. And by God's hand, it will. And so when I say, we're pleading to God, come save us, it's not a philosophy I subscribe to. Because God created us as individuals with free will. He created us with the gift of sovereignty and choice. And he gave us dominion over all things that he created on this earth. And just as from the very beginning, we were given a choice. Adam and Eve were given a choice. They chose to follow not God's word, but follow the words of deceit, and were kicked out of the kingdom. And to kind of really like super fast forward the Bible, but we have Christ then comes to earth, and after these years of struggle, Christ then revitalizes the basic teachings and laws of God, and then sacrifices himself to release man from the original sin of making a bad decision, like a really bad one. And it's then through Christ that we're able to access and move through to Father and becoming connected and being able to feed from the tree of life. There is the humbling of us before God. There is the acceptance and truth and honesty we place before God in our hearts. And I think this is one of the biggest and hardest challenges, and it's where I go back to where I began of why I don't plead for God to come help us, because God is within every single one of us. And the biggest challenge each and every one of us has is opening our heart with truth without any hesitation. God knows our heart. That is not the issue. But being truthful before God and showing God how we see our own heart. And it's there that Christ's hand does such an amazing job, because it's there that these inequities are healed. And it's there that we're given strength. But if God didn't want us here in this time, he wouldn't bother. If we're spending time pleading to him to come save us. The question is, what is our role? So, if our role is to sit here in this time to pray to God to save us, I'm going to ask a simple question. God can animate anything in the world. That isn't a problem. God could take an ant and animate it to the level he wants. He could take a rock and animate it to the level he wants. So if our role is to plead to God to come save us, I would argue that we're a whole lot of work for a whole lot of nothing. But that's because I don't think that's our role. Faith needs works. Faith needs wheels. It needs traction. It needs works in the world. And so on the one hand, when we're praying for healing and we're being honest and praying for that truth and honesty before God, putting ourselves before God, prayer should be in my opinion, I feel prayer should be not just, it's not about asking. Man, we do a lot of that. God, I need this. God, that. God, this. And even in a spiritual sense, it ends up being some sort of debit card, or even worse yet, it's a credit card. Unlimited balance. What are we doing today? Well, I'm going shopping for saving the earth. I'm going shopping to have God come and fix it for me. Huh. Must be pretty nice. It's like you're at Kmart or something. You have, we got a special on, we had a blue light special on aisle 13. Aisle 13, it's God. A special on God saving the world. So head on over there, and lines are short, and the sale's only going to last for 15 minutes. You remember those at Kmart? Oh, they were so obnoxious. Prayer is power. Prayer is healing. Prayer itself. Praying for strength, there's something. Praying for healing, there's something. Praying for clarity so that we can become better. Praying for wisdom so that we can see through some of this maze. Praying to have our talents and gifts more clear. Praying for more energy so we can fight longer. Praying for having never-ending focus on perfection of the things that he's given us. Praying to build more bridges, to have more opportunities to spread love. Praying for compassion. Praying for more opportunities to spread truth so that people can hear. Praying for the words to help open people's hearts and take their blinders off. There's not a lot of me in that. And this is a real big trap, and I've mentioned it a lot. It's a trap that every one of us faces, and it's one we have to be very cognizant of, because the me trap is a vicious trap. I mean vicious. That me trap snares us, and pretty soon we're back at that, God, I need this. God, I need that. I need you to fix this for me. My tire's flat on the car. I need to know if you can, I need to pray for a AAA mechanic to come in and take the tire off and put it back on for me. We have to be active in our world. There can be no fear where we are. If you're walking with God, there is no fear. None. One of the things that I will tell you honestly, it drives me batty, is the what ifs. Well, what if, that's all fine and good that you're praying for things, but what if little green Martians came flying down on big asteroids and they started an asteroid attack on LA? I saw it in a movie, so it's got to be true. So they started an asteroid attack on LA. How's God going to save us then? It's not the way it's going to happen that way. Even if it does, I mean, what? Okay. We got little green Martians in L.A. It sounds more normal in L.A. than not, anyway, so I say it. Cannot let anxieties overwhelm you. We cannot let fears overcome us. And there should be none of that in that place of God. It's hard for some to understand, to really embrace that. And it centers again on if you're walking in a world that is centered on me or if you're walking in a world that's centered on God. When we accept that we're walking in a world centered on God, how God has no fear, so how can we have fear? God doesn't have anxiety. So how can we have anxiety? But when we put the me back in there, which, by the way, is a Luciferian construct from the beginning, that corruption centers a lot on the fallen. It's the idea that we can be gods. We can choose everything we want in this world and we can have it all. It's not, and it's, because you'll hear things like this. Well, it's an evil thought. It's not evil. It's a structure of the lucid, well, I guess it is evil, but it's not like that. It's the me principle, the me I. That I am important, I am in this world, me, 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 me. That is a basic foundational construct of the Luciferian world. Because each in the Luciferian order, in the way of thinking, remember, at the low levels, most people don't even realize it's part of the deception to draw them in. Most people think that this is just normal in life. Me, I, me, I. That is not the way God designed it. We have choice, we have dominion, we have free will, but we live through God. And as he guides us, it's those gifts that are given to us to create the glory of the world. Let me read you some this. Isaiah 58, 6 to 12. Is not the fast that I choose? Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. I'll be honest, I can't think of a more noble passage to live by. Can you imagine if 74 million people chose to dedicate themselves to the healing, the raising up, and the clothing of the poor and those in the most physical and metaphorical sense of those in need. It's a powerful concept. And I say it's a powerful concept. It's in Scripture, so that should tell us that it's probably a little more than a good idea. When we walk in that path, we're not pleading to God to save us. We're letting God move through us to raise the world up. We have developed, when I say we, I'm collective we, not individuals out here. And so this is not pointing the finger at anybody. When the world is out here, when there are people out here, the world, whatever, pleading to have God come save them, that's not who we were made. We were made to do Isaiah 58, 6 to 12, to raise each other up, to love thy brother, to build bridges, to share our bread with others, to make sure that we're helping others to stand and to give of ourselves into others. There isn't a, and in helping others, you'll find that place to fit very quickly. So it is a, however you want to focus that. We have to, and I say that because we have the crisis of kids, we have the crisis of adults, we have a crisis of a vaccine, we have a crisis of spiritual bankruptcy. And right now, how you weight one each one of those as to what is important. They're all very important. They're foundational because each one affects the other in another way. So where you choose to place your effort, pray. God will guide you. Because one thing will be resisted by, one thing that's resisted by the one subject or one person may be open as an avenue to get to them on another. So as an example, you may have somebody who has decided in their mind they are wholly supportive and committed to abortion. Ugh. Anyway. And you can't get through to them because they're walled off. They might be completely supportive and committed to getting a vaccine. They're walled off. You can't get to them. But you might find that helping them understand or appreciate faith and what it means, or perhaps it's helping their elderly, maybe not even somebody in their life. You might find that little opening in their wall to let God do his work, and suddenly all the other things start to cascade away. If we charge it a fight single-handedly and single target every single time, I'm going to do one thing. We aren't using our tools and gifts that God's given us to open the hearts that are closed. Not everyone hears the same way. And as long as we're not sitting on the side praying to be saved by God, but instead using God to move forward into the world and to open the hearts and letting us and him guide us as he sees fit, then we're doing our job. I've said this a couple of times, especially after the show last night with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, which is up in full. If you get a chance to listen to it, it's 2 hours of red pilling. Brilliant testimony to what we're dealing with this vaccination currently. The two parts, the separate parts, part one and part two, will be put up tomorrow. I'm not going to have time until tomorrow, but the show itself is all up. But, you know, the one thing about the vaccination, which is people are, as some people are realizing what they've done, they're now turning in panic to ask how to undo something like this. And as Dr. Tenpenny has said, there is no undoing this once it happens, at least not by the science that we know. The only undoing of this, and this is the greatest irony of all, is that you have to return to God and pray. That's it. So, is that God's work? I don't know. But what I do know is this, is that within the goal of trying to awaken all and bring all of his children home, it's ironic that once a person gets the injection and wakes up, that they can literally be compelled, even though they have been resistance, to finally return and put themselves before Christ and plead for healing. Isn't that interesting? Not saying that's what's designed, not saying that's what's going to happen, because I'm not the big guy. I'm not sitting in his chair and I'm not making the plans. But if we're humbled and we're putting ourselves before God and we're doing our task each day to break the yokes of enslavement that people are under, to follow his lead, ask yourself what you're worried about. What can you possibly be worried about in that space? If we're worried about a fake presidency, we're worried about arrests, we're worried about whatever, that's all us stuff, not anything else. That's an me, I thing. I want to know, and boy, do I hear this a lot. I want to know when things are going to happen. I want to know what the timeline is for certain things to occur. I. I don't know. Take a number. Make a telephone call to God. Ask. I don't know. Because this whole plan, when you look at the world and you ask yourself, how is it possible that almost every government right now is paralyzed in motion, other than a lot of lip service? How is it possible that the entire agenda of the evil dark side is exposed? How is it possible that it's simultaneously most of the world is awakening at the same time and questioning and challenging? How is it possible there's no new wars in the midst of all this? How is it possible that in the midst of all this, without even having a leadership or government in our country currently, because we don't, we have none, neither. We have a military it's like taking a nap or something. We have a duly elected president who is silent and off to the side. We have a fake president who's trying to make congruent sentences and pencil whipping things that no one cares about. We have zero leadership in our country right now. And yet, faith is rising. And amongst the movement of God, peace is rising. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Sounds to me like that's a whole lot of God working right there. And I guess in a certain sense, he is here saving us. So I just say, let's get on that train. Let's join him and let's start doing a whole lot of work out here to raise up the many, to open hearts, and to give as he intended us to give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're blessed in these moments that we come together each day to reflect deeply upon your words, upon the wisdom given to us, upon the love and the sacrifice made for us by Jesus Christ. Lord, we're guided in the principles of giving and loving thy neighbor, in helping others in need, knowing that in need is not just limited to physical needs, but it's also spiritual needs. We ask that you'll guide us in this time to show us those opportunities, to present the many opportunities before us, that we can speak words that you provide, see clearly with eyes that you give, and hear clearly the needs. And in doing so, help others free themselves from the yoke of slavery and make a choice to be able to make a clear choice of a direction to go. In a world so laced with deception right now, Lord, one of the greatest gifts we can help others accomplish or achieve is a connection with you to give them clear sight. And in so doing, reinvigorate the original gift of free will and to choose either to remain with you and to come back to you or to part and walk their way alone in the world. What we pray most of all, Lord, is as we encounter and engage in the world that we can provide those moments, that we can be given those opportunities, and in doing so, allow people to return to the power of free will and understanding the consequence of their choice. And in those prayers, praying for them to see clearly where they're going and make a choice, hopefully, to return to you. In the end, we're very clear, Lord, that the world, the place in each of us have in this world, is a place of choice, a place that we must accept consequences for our choices, and equally how beautiful the world is and how simple it becomes when the choice that we accept is to stand with you at your kneel before you humbly, to live through the body of Christ and accept the gateway back to you. And we have to say these things blessed in knowing of the sacrifices made on our behalf in the name of our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It's not complicated in the end, I'll tell you. We just make it so complicated. So don't be complicated. We got to have works with our faith. We have to breathe and trust in God in all things. And I guess, you know, for all those out there that question that, all I can say is you might as well jump on the train and experience it, because when you're over on this side, life is truly amazing. So, Patriots, have a very blessed day. I will be back in about 30 minutes for Federalist Paper number 37. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Pray. Pray a lot. But remember that we're part of this solution. God isn't going to come swooping in on wings of eagles to fix it for us. There's no option A or option out here to be able to say, I want to sit on the couch. This is a time that we are pressing in, and God is working with us to bring back his glory into this world. And it will take a lot of hard work. That I'm sure of. And in reflecting on this last night and kind of my closing thoughts, I really realized just how hard this work is going to be. More than it is now, greater than we've ever imagined. And yet how glorious it could be. What a more noble mission than to die in our time when God calls us home, to be able to say, I did everything I could, gave everything I could give, in his name for the sole purpose of returning the world to the foundation of In God We Trust. See you in a bit, or to the next time. And until then, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the with the night.